From WHKW 1220 AM in Cleveland, you're listening to the Schiffer Report.
Rebecca Kofler, why does this remind you of the worst of the Bolsheviks and the Soviet Union, and it reminds you of what Putin and the KGB can do, ma'am?
I'm terrified, Steve. I'm an immigrant from Soviet Russia. As you know, I lived under the totalitarian regime, and now I do not recognize our country. Basically, whoever is driving this turmoil, they're trying to destabilize America, and they're trying to kick out President Trump out of the 2024 campaign. This is exactly what Putin does. This is classic Putin's playbook. What he did with his opponent, Alexei Navalny, for example, who exposed corruption in Putin's government, he threw him in jail. And right now he is rotting in a Russian prison. I see all of the hallmarks of totalitarianism creeping into our country under Joe Biden's presidency. And I know it's probably hard for Americans to imagine that America, the land of freedom, could even become one day, you know, a totalitarian state. But look at it this way. These American Bolsheviks, they've locked us down during COVID, right? We were not allowed to go do our jobs. Kids were not allowed to do to go to school. They forced us with this so-called vaccine that was basically an experimental drug.
If you're tired of fake news and leftist propaganda, then you've come to the right place. It's time for the Schiffer Report with the radio journalist, author, and political analyst, Paul Schiffer.
They told us the protests in the summer of 2020 were peaceful. Got $1 billion worth of damage around our cities. It says it wasn't. They told us the FBI didn't spy on the Trump campaign. Sure looks like it did. They told us the vaccinated can't get it. You know that's wrong.
You heroes have killed a dozen people this week. What are you going to do next week?
We cannot afford to be so politically correct anymore. We will honor the American people with the truth and nothing else.
Is it just me, or is it getting crazier out there?
I may sound like a Bible beater, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other.
We will not live our lives in fear.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
Live from WHKW, your host, Paul Schiffer.
Thanks for tuning in tonight. This is the Schiffer Report, heard every Thursday evening on WHKW, 1220 AM, from 7 p.m. until 8 p.m. Tonight, as I promised last week, is part two of an interview with journalist Cliff Kincaid. He's been a journalist since about 1979, worked for Accuracy in Media for at least 30 years. Accuracy in Media in Washington, D.C. was the first and foremost media outlet exposing the liberal bias of the media. Cliff knew that the media was fake news way before Trump started talking about it. So we got Cliff on tonight, mainly talking about the unfortunate reality that our country is being Sovietized. The communists have taken over. Biden is a puppet, actually, probably of Obama. Susan Rice, who was in the previous Obama administration 8 years ago, just left today. I wonder why she left. Maybe things aren't happening fast enough for her. But Cliff Kincaid is going to be with us to talk about a myriad of issues, which include the China and Russia threat. Yes, Russia's a part of it. It's not just China. And we're also going to talk about how the KGB, in Putin's reincarnation of it, the FSB, has infiltrated the right in this country and basically deceiving a lot of us on the right. Welcome, Cliff, to the Schiffer Report tonight.
Paul, great to be with you again.
Great to have you. Real quick, just I know you gave your bio last week. Give a quick rundown of your experience, especially in the 80s with Accuracy in Media and what you're doing now. Go ahead.
I've had a career almost 50 years now in Washington, D.C. with Accuracy in Media. Worked for Ollie North for quite some time. Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly, then regarded as Ronald Reagan's favorite newspaper. About 25 years ago, I started my own group called America's Survival, Inc. We had many great years. You came to some of our conferences in D.C. We had about 10 of them dealing with everything from communism to George Soros to the Weather Underground. And then all of a sudden, I came under attack. I expected that. The Southern Poverty Law Center, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, threatened with other left-wing lawsuits, defunded by a major conservative foundation, the SCAFE Foundations. And then YouTube took down, just about a year ago, Paul, all of our 500, that's 500 anti-communist videos. But we're still going. We're still fighting on our feet, and we're starting to make a comeback, looking at relaunching our TV show and continuing to publish columns at usasurvival.org.
Well, what we're going to do tonight, if you don't mind, is going over some recent news. Some of it may be shocking to some conservatives out there, the ones that buy everything that Fox News gives them. But we're going to go into some recent news, and then I want you to delve into history a little bit and cover some of the documents you've had at some of your conferences in Washington, D.C., including all the recently declassified U.S. government documents, information regarding the communist and the Weather Underground and their influence, and how some of those leaders in the late 60s and 70s ended up being top advisors to the Barack Obama administration. And then I want you to get into a little bit about the infiltration of the media and the KGB and its friends. Remember a guy named John Reese, who was at Accuracy Media back about the time you joined. He had an excellent article that I think you have posted on your website called Infiltration of the Media by the KGB and its Friends. First, let's talk about some recent news, some of which you've written about on your website, usasurvival.org. Let's talk about, and some of this is unfortunate to hear, that you write in your recent piece, Trump attacks on DeSantis are insane. You point out the good things that Trump gets it about communism, that he articulates an anti-communist, anti-Marxist view, point of view. He was on, I think, Newsmax TV recently going over this. But unfortunately, he's been attacking Ron DeSantis, too, who just announced that he's probably going to be announcing for president. Explain.
There's a lot I like about Trump. I had my doubts initially, but he was a great president. We all know what's happened to him. He's subject to legal terrorism on so many fronts.
Yeah.
Today, so many charges. He's right about the enemy. Some people call it the deep state, but in this interview with Greg Kelly of Newsmax the other day, he put it quite simply. He says we're up against communism. He talked about a small group of people who are communists, who are Marxists, and he's right. This is really what I've dedicated my life to, my career to, exposing these people, trying to bring back a House Committee on Un-American Activities, or as it was once called, the House Internal Security Committee, to identify these people by name, to expose them, to subpoena them, to bring them before Congress to testify. And that's where Trump, unfortunately, falls short. He analyzes the problem and then fails to go into detail. We can fill in some of the void. We can fill in some of the gaps. But then he spends millions of dollars, at least his associates do, through the MAGA super PAC, attacking Ron DeSantis, who's a great governor of Florida, who's done great work down there, by the way, in introducing and getting passed a Victims of Communism curricula for the public school students to teach them. This is where we have to start. We have to relaunch this whole educational system all over again, teaching them about the enemy we face within and without through China and Russia. I wish Trump would talk more about that rather than wasting his time and effort and his donors' money attacking a good governor.
Well, supposedly Ron DeSantis is going to run. There's talk out there on some of the websites, Gateway Pundit and everything else, that he's probably going to announce within a few days or a week. Number one, I'll make this clear. I'm a big Trump supporter, as you are, but I sometimes question some of what he says. And if I were some of these other Republicans, somebody should have rounded them all up, Ron DeSantis, some of the other ones that are jumping in the race, supposedly, and there's a couple others that have jumped in, and say, look it, this is how I feel about it. He was denied the election. He won clearly and fairly. He knew right off the bat there was massive voter fraud. It's being proved extensively from certain conservatives out there, especially in Arizona, by Carrie Lake and others, that we know he lost the election by default. It was stolen from him. He's the legitimate president now. Why are these other people, why don't they just let him go and let him fulfill the mantle that was stolen from him? And so I disagree with DeSantis and everybody running for president against him, because it is duly for his. It's his to take because of what he went through. You know, he put in the suffering. But with that said, maybe that's part of his anger lashing out at DeSantis and others, that he feels because of that he's due to get the crown, you know, the Republican nominee. What do you think?
I think he wants revenge, and I can understand that. If I'd gone through all that hell, I'd want to get back at the people who did it to me and who continue to do it to him. This is what legal terrorism is. But in order to do that effectively, use your money, use your influence, use your time and effort to go after those people, not a fellow governor. I mean, why don't we get together? For example, Ron DeSantis, who's doing very good work on this issue of communism, which I've dedicated my life to exposing, is now being attacked by Disney. Disney, as you know, Paul, is the epitome, the symbol of cultural Marxism in America, what they've done to that great country, company. And Disney's now suing DeSantis. And rather than go after DeSantis, President Trump ought to defend DeSantis against Disney. The Republicans ought to come together against the main enemy. In this case, it's communism working through companies like Disney, and quit using these terms like woke or politically incorrect. Like I say, Trump, in his interview with Greg Kelly the other day, said, this is communism. Mm-hmm. He's right. But the problem with Trump is he doesn't understand the enemy. President Reagan did. Why? Because Reagan, when he was in Hollywood, fought the communists. He fought the communists as president of the Screen Actors Guild. He helped purge the communists from Hollywood. And Trump doesn't have that kind of background or expertise. I don't blame him entirely. He was a businessman in New York. That's his background. But he's had enough time now to get educated. He's got to start reading things, beginning with, as I say in my column today, reading the Communist Manifesto and articulating to the people why Joe Biden and the Democrats are modeling their campaign and their administration after the philosophy of Karl Marx.
As you heard in the opening, we played it a few weeks ago in the middle of the show, but I felt it was important enough to play again. A best-selling author, Rebecca Kofler, who was born and raised in the former Soviet Union, has a great book out, came out a couple years ago, I know you've seen it, called Putin's Playbook, where she exposes how evil Vladimir Putin is. It's a book a lot of conservatives should read because of the fact that they just don't get it about Putin. Most of the conservatives I know in my personal life think Putin's all right, and that because he's against homosexuality, on and on. You've heard all that garbage. But Rebecca Kofler gets it because she was born in the Soviet Union, and she says these are American Bolsheviks. What our government's doing to us now, they're trying to destabilize America and put President Trump behind bars. Go ahead, comment.
There is a big difference. I mean, they are trying to put Trump behind bars, but in Russia today and the old Soviet Union, they don't usually dispense with just trying to put you behind bars. They kill you. Putin is an assassin. He's notorious for using poisons against dissidents and former KGB officers. Before Coffler did her book, and it's pretty good, we did a book, as you know, back in 2014 called Back from the Dead, Return of the Evil Empire. We need, in addition to Trump, talking the truth about communism and how it's still evident in the former Soviet Union, Russia today, we need people in the media, this gets back to my days with accuracy in media, who can talk about the reality of communists in America. I talked to you last week about this March 18th rally I went to in D.C., a second anti-Ukraine rally with about 1,500 communists and fellow travelers. These are kids, mostly 20s, 30s, who came out of college. They're probably going to get government jobs or go into academia or join the communist revolution in the streets. This is a reality today. These people are a direct threat. And there are actually laws on the books, like the Communist Control Act, which could be used by a Trump administration, if he gets back in, or DeSantis, to round these people up on charges of being foreign agents for Russia and China. We have to start enforcing our laws if we want to survive the civil war we're in.
Recently, a former Assistant FBI director, I forget his name, his assistant FBI director about 20 years ago, came out and said he knows, in fact, that there are hundreds of Chinese agents in this country, at the very least. And you know all about the Chinese police stations, they're called. They're set up in major cities like Chicago and New York and Atlanta. And basically, they're here to keep tabs not only on American citizens, but to keep their fellow Chinese who are over here, giving them their marching orders to help in the takeover of America. We also have read and heard of all the hundreds of thousands of illegals coming through, but the United Nations, along with Anthony Blinken in this communist regime, and also Jake Sullivan, who's the national security advisor for Biden, they're networking with the United Nations leaders in a place called the Darien Gap in Panama. And they said there's thousands of military-aged Chinese, Cubans, and Russians, and other Middle East terrorists coming through. We don't know where they're being sent, all through the country. This is an invasion.
Well, don't get me started on that. The UN, I wrote two books on the UN dating back about 20 years, Paul.
I remember.
Global Bondage, and then Global Taxes for World Government. The UN was the first big communist front organization, co-founded by Alger Hiss, who was FDR's close aide, who helped betray the Eastern European countries to the old Soviet Union at Yalta. We know all about that. That's part of the history. We know the Soviets stole our nuclear weapons plans. They helped found Maoist China. China stole our nuclear weapons from Los Alamos, advanced designs. I mean, this is all before the discovery of these Chinese police stations. We've had open borders for decades. Trump tried to do something about it. I give him credit there. But, you know, we could go back in history and even talk about the fact that Trump maybe, just maybe, should have stayed in office back in 2020. And refused to vacate the White House because, as you know, he was the target of the real insurrection, the riots in 2020.
Right.
St. John's Church was almost burned to the ground just across the street from the White House by a mob. We had these mobs and riots. They're continuing. They're going to get worse.
I agree with you 100% about what you said, that Trump should have stayed in office because he knew, and we all knew, people like you and me and J.R. Nyquist and Trevor Loud and all the communist experts out there knew that if he gave up power, because these are communists and communists never let go of power once they take over a country. And I think it may almost be too late. We need a miracle, a couple miracles. We need God's help. But I don't know if we're going to get much help from God, to be honest from you, because of the fact that we've walked away from God. We've abandoned God. Now, there are millions, I'm hoping, of good Christian people, Catholic and Protestant out there, but there's not enough pastors or priests speaking out against this evil. They have blood on their hands. If anything comes to this country, a revolution, or and maybe from our side, a counter-revolution, but something has got to be done, because these are the most dangerous times our country has faced since the Civil War. And Trump actually said that the other day. He said these are very dangerous times we live in. Probably we've never seen days like this before. And it's going to get worse. Would you agree?
It's been worse. It's been going on for decades. Getting back to Russia, after the Communist Revolution, was the first nation on earth to legalize abortion on demand. It then got surpassed by Communist China. But here in the United States, although Roe v. Wade has been overturned, more than 60 million unborn children in the United States dead through abortion. The Republicans going into 2024 have to quit beating around the bush on this, have to quit playing politics with this, and have to state what is the fact. And Whitaker Chambers, the ex-communist, in his book Witness, talked about this. The discovery, this is what caused him to move away from communism, away from, quote, materialism, that there is a soul, that God is in charge, that we all have souls, and that we are unique human individuals created in the image of God. We cannot back down on abortion.
And these leaders in the pro-abortion movement, a lot of them now are Satanists. They come out and admit it in some of the websites I go to. The Church of Satan is a real entity. They brag about it. They have their own lawyers, their own institution, and they have their seminars, and they proclaim abortion as a sacred right. I think it's like, you've seen some of these interviews with best-selling author Jonathan Cahn, a Messianic Jew, who has a great new book out called The Return of the Gods. And he said basically what our country's doing by abandoning God and all these leftists taking power, we're calling back the demons from ancient Israel. They fled our country when our nation was founded, but they're coming back from a vengeance. I'm talking about Baal worship and Jezebel and everything. That's the spirit, the demonic spirit, behind abortion, behind homosexuality. And talk about a prior thing. First, it was appeared in the Soviet Union, was you told me the other day on the phone that transgenderism started in the Soviet Union, but they had to put a stop to it. Lenin and Stalin did, because it got out of control. They saw that homosexuality and the transsexual movement, if it grows, can destroy a country from within.
That's right. And they decided instead to export it in the form of what was called cultural Marxism. You're right. Abortion for these people is a sacrament. Yeah. It's child sacrifice. They used to have in the old days a pagan god called Moloch, where children, unborn babies, children were sacrificed to the gods. This is what we're fighting. This is what we're up against. And it's part and parcel of what started out with Karl Marx.
And he was into Satanism. You're familiar with the book Marx and Satan, written by a former Romanian defector. I think he died about 20 years ago. Forget his name, but he's famous for the book
Richard Wurmbrand.
His best-selling book was Tortured for Christ, had many others. But the book I'm talking about is Marx and Satan, where he documents how Karl Marx started out supposedly as a Christian, going to Christian school. Then he ended up writing demonic poetry. And before he got into communism, before he wrote the Communist Manifesto, he was spewing out satanic garbage.
He was. Paul Kangor wrote a good book, The Devil and Karl Marx, and then followed that up, as you know, with his co-author, The Devil and Bella Dodd about
great books.
The ex-communist who exposed what the Communist Party was up to. It all goes back to Satan.
We're going to slide into a very quick commercial break. We'll be right back with our special guest tonight, Cliff Kincaid. Visit his website. It's usasurvival.org. Be right back.
Hi, this is Tom Zawistowski, president of the We the People Convention. We are proud to support our friend and true patriot, Paul Schiffer, and this important radio program, The Schiffer Report. If you are listening to Paul, then you are the kind of educated and engaged conservative who is concerned about our nation and our future. I would ask you to join me every week for the We the People Convention News and Opinion podcast, where we highlight the news that affects your individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity, then discuss things that you can do as an individual to protect your rights and defend our nation. You can find our podcast on our website at wethepeopleconvention.org or on Rumble at TomZWTPC or by downloading our We the People Convention app to your Roku or Amazon Fire TV. Get all the details on our website at wethepeopleconvention.org and be sure to sign up to get our emails or text messages as well. Thanks for listening to the Schiffer Report.
If you like the Schiffer Report, and I know you do, then check out Understanding the Times, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. on 1220. Hi, I'm Mike Fodor, your friendly host. We're live in studio, call-in talk show that brings the five C's of conversation and topics. Cutting edge, controversial, conspiratorial, conservative, and Christian. Visit our website, SoaringDoveMinistries.com. We have 100-plus podcasts in 15 categories, such as cultural causes, history, current events and prophecy, and much more. And listen live Wednesdays, 8 p.m.
In a world full of entertainers walking on eggshells and other media companies airing whatever message will make them the almighty dollar, StylesRebelRadio.com is a group of free content creators specializing in podcasts, articles, interviews, and more. Everything from conspiracy theories involving JFK and artificial intelligence to local up-and-coming musicians and blogs that take life a little less seriously. StylesRebelRadio.com is your one-stop destination for a wide variety of all entertainment all the time. All content may not be suitable for all ages. StylesRebelRadio.com. All rights reserved.
It's a soundtrack from one of my favorite movies, The Dark Knight, with Christian Bale and Heath Ledger's Joker. You're listening to The Schiffer Report. Remember to check out our website. Actually, Style, my producer, put the website together, did a great job about 6 weeks ago. We're constantly updating it. Everything that you hear we talk about on each episode of this Schiffer Report is put on the website. We have bios and pictures of our guests and affiliates all up there. We have about 10 different parts to the website. Go to theschifferreport.com, check it in. Plus, by the day after every episode, we have every broadcast that we do posted. The audio is posted on the website, theschifferreport.com. And recently, we've posted information about our guest tonight, Cliff Kincaid. Welcome back, Cliff.
Good to be back.
Look, it's hard to know what to go next, but let me pick a topic here, the China threat, which we both know is very grave. And I've had a friend of yours on many times on this show the past couple years, J.R. Nyquist. He's very good at communist strategy, specifically the military strategy of Russia and China. J.R. Nyquist, go to his blog, jrnyquist.blog. He has a new 40-page article. I told you the other day he's into writing lengthy commentaries. This one's 40 pages long. The newest one's called Russia and Chinese Strategy, rock, paper, nukes. And he goes into detail about some of the warnings that Soviet defector Anatoly Golitsyn made about the coming perestroika deception, which Gorbachev initiated. But he also says a lot in here about the China threat, and they could be invading, quite frankly, within the next 6 months to a year. He also believes that the threat to Taiwan, it could be real, but it could be also a distraction to keep us off the real story, which is that they're planning to invade us. And when you look at the illegals coming across the border, many of thousands of them being Chinese, military age men, and Russian, and Cuban, and North Korean even, along with the assorted mix of Middle East terrorists. What's your assessment of the China threat, and how close are we to World War III?
I always respect what Jeff Nyquist writes. My immediate analysis is that China's waiting on Taiwan to see what happens with Russia and Ukraine. The best thing we can do is support Ukraine. Now, I'm not here to say that Biden has done everything right. He's been pursuing a no-win war. He hasn't supported Ukraine with the weapons it needs to defend itself. But I think if Ukraine can hold on, then China will be less likely, less reluctant, or less eager to invade Taiwan. So this is something so many conservatives just do not understand. I hear so many of them say, well, Ukraine really belongs to Russia. Well, by that kind of logic, then we ought to give the southwestern United States back to Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, this is the kind of a crazy logic that enables surrender and puts us on the defensive. The fact is, and we can go back in history to one of your favorite presidents, Bill Clinton, he helped engineer an agreement in 1994 called the Budapest Memorandum with Ukraine, Russia, and Britain and the United States. And everybody signed that agreement saying that if Ukraine, which was then a Soviet republic or a former Soviet republic, gave all its nuclear weapons back to Moscow, all of the countries would guarantee its territorial integrity and political independence. Well, clearly, Russia didn't live up to that. The first invasion in 2014 under Obama, no invasion, no subsequent invasion under Trump, and then back again, invading again, and the current war under Biden.
And right, the Democrats say they're against Russia. They haven't changed the narrative, though. They've been in Russia's hip pocket for decades. Look at the Trump-Russia lie. That was all the bottom line. It was Hillary Clinton who did the Uranium One deal, depleted a lot of our uranium supplies. She did the Skolnikov deal, which was basically gave billions of dollars of U.S. money to their high-tech area. And they've always been in bed with Russia. And now they say, now the narrative's been flipped and they act like they're anti-Russia, which they're not. You can go into detail about that. And it's nonsense that they pin the Russia target on Trump. Trump is not pro-Russia, but if he was in power now, he'd make damn sure there would have been no invasion of Ukraine, number one, under Trump. And Obama is the one, as a Democrat, that allowed the Russians in to Crimea back in 2014 and did nothing about it.
That's right. All he did in response was send some water bottles and blankets to Ukraine as if they were going to defend themselves with that. But you're exactly right. And don't forget that the Russiagate hoax was initiated. Actually, it was paid for by Hillary, as you point out, but it was initiated by the Russians.
Yeah.
The source of that dossier was the FSB and Russian disinformation. The Russians want to undermine Trump, just like the Chinese tried to and successfully did, unfortunately, with COVID killing 1 million Americans. Trump tried to fight back against that. So we're facing a two-fisted enemy, Russia and China, and we better keep our eyes on Ukraine. One thing I would suggest to your listeners, Paul, is read a copy or listen to or watch the great speech that was given to Congress by the South Korean president today. He's a conservative. He understands the threat of China and Russia. In fact, South Korea is trying to supply weapons to Ukraine. Thank God we have allies like that who are still standing by us, even despite...
Where was that speech posted at, Cliff? What website?
You'll have to... I saw an account on Breitbart, but I'm sure the South Korean embassy will have a full transcript. It's a very powerful defense of the free world, and we better get ready and get moving quickly if we're still going to have a free world.
And another thing that you pointed out before, and J.R. Nyquist points out in his new posting on jrnyquist.blog, is that he believes, and from what I've seen, it looks possible, unfortunately, that our entire nuclear arsenal may be fully degraded now. They're not up to par. I think within 2 to 3 years, we need to build up our missiles and everything because uranium degrades. So what we have now may not be usable. And the Russians and the Chinese know this. We haven't built, correct me if I'm wrong here, you can go into more detail, we haven't built a new nuclear warhead or put a new missile in since 1992.
Well, I know most of what you say is true. Here's what we have in our own defense. As you know, we have a nuclear triad. And one aspect of that, our nuclear submarines are still very first class. In fact, what came out of today, and I give the military, the Joint Chiefs, credit for this, not Biden, they're going to be sending another nuclear-armed U.S. sub to the area of South Korea and North Korea just to show some backbone for a change. Our nuclear subs are first rate, but you're right. We have to
modernize silos,
our Air Force and the land-based missiles.
This is really bad. If this report, though, that our land-based missiles are degraded and practically useless, at least in 2 or 3 years' time, then we're finished. I just don't know what's going to save us. But at any rate, let me give out the phone lines here. If you'd like to call in and talk to our special guest, Cliff Kincaid, from Washington, D.C., phone line is 216-901-0933. Give us a call at 216-901-0933 if you have a question or comment for Cliff. Also, I'm going to give away another. I've got a bunch of your books from the past at my home, Cliff. I'm going to give out to caller number five, his book of about 5 years ago called The Sword of Revolution and the Communist Apocalypse, a really dark book. I like that kind of book, though. The Sword of Revolution and the Communist Apocalypse goes to caller number five at 216-901-0933. 216-901-0933. Let's move on just real quickly. I want to talk about basically, the person that did the most damage to us before Biden was Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. You did a lot of conferences down there in D.C. I've been to a few of them, and you focused on his communist background, his mentor, Frank Marshall Davis. But I have a declassified U.S. government intelligence information document here on the Weather Underground. This is just fascinating how all of the people, most of them, that ended up supporting Barack Hussein Obama were part of the terrorist group funded by the Soviet Union. And this is an amazing, it's scary what the Weather Underground got away with. They were associated with the Soviet Union. They did a lot of terrorist activities in America. They were big from 1968 to, I think, 1982. And some of Obama's top people were a part of this nefarious group.
He was supported by a group called Progressives for Obama that included former weathermen, Weather Underground members. We know about Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn having helped him start his career in Illinois. Obama himself, I never claim he was a member of the Communist Party, but he was supported by the party. You know, in the past, the Communist Party usually ran its own candidates. Like in 1976, it was Gus Hall. He's the guy who got the vote of John Brennan when John Brennan was in college at Fordham University, who later became Obama's CIA director. But when Obama ran in 2008, 2012, the Communist Party didn't run a candidate, their own candidate. Why? Because they supported Obama. You know, this is just a fact of life. And that was the party, by the way, that was funded and controlled by Moscow. And Obama was very weak on Russia, as we pointed out, but he was very weak on China. In fact, after he got out of office, one of his first overseas visits was to visit Chinese dictator Xi, where they had a secret meeting, according to the media, of veteran cadres, a very strange term suggesting they were both communist operatives. I mean, I call Obama our first open Marxist president. And as you pointed out earlier, we did reports on this. Most of his personnel are running the Biden administration today.
I agree. Susan Rice being the top one, I guess she just quit or is threatening to quit. She's upset for some reason. Susan Rice.
Yeah, I don't know what's behind that. She may be waiting in the wings in case they ditch Kamala Harris.
By the way, we have a winner. Dave, thanks for listening to the Schiffer Report. You've got a copy. I'll mail it out tomorrow of The Sword of Revolution and the Communist Apocalypse, one of Cliff Kincaid's books. He's got many out there. The Sword of Revolution and Communist Apocalypse. Mail it out to Dave. Got your address. Before we get to the callers, hang on. Be patient with me. We got three callers on. Norm is in studio. He's a friend of mine, Vietnam vet. You've seen him at a few of your conferences. Cliff, he has a question. Go ahead.
I really have a remark. I came back from Vietnam in 1970. I ended up at a Fort Meade in the Washington area, and we ended up going against the Weather Underground as a group of soldiers, most of us combat vets, and that was Fonda and Ayers and Bernadine, and they pretty much tore the town up at that time. And we had back squads and rifles with bayonets, and we had to back those people out. They were burning buses, turning things over, and just hitting us with bags of urine and rocks and bottles and whatever they could pick up. And the lewdness and the filth and the filthy mouths, I just couldn't believe it. And they said to us, a few of them, one day we will own you.
Amazing. Very relevant. What do you have to say about that, Cliff?
Well, I would only add thank you for your service. And one of the big issues we covered when I had my conferences in D.C. was justice for victims of the Weather Underground, including a police officer in San Francisco who was murdered by the Weather Underground when they bombed a police station. We actually went out there, held a news conference. We were demanding prosecution of Ayers and Dorn for that crime, but of course they were never prosecuted, and they went on to become leading academics.
We're running out of time. We have three callers. We've got J.C. Hawkins is one of them. Let's go to Mike in Cleveland. Mike, welcome to the Schiffer Report. Question or comment for Cliff?
Well, I just have a comment to make. I think that President Trump, with all the situation that he has endured, I think he probably will win the presidency because everything that the enemy has done to him, they have basically failed. Two failed impeachments, the Christopher Steele dossier, the Russia collusion situation, and now that Alvin Bragg has pretty much made a fool of himself, and I don't see this going anywhere but in Trump's favor. So I think he's going to play the old rope-a-dope trick on these peoples and come out on top, because of the simple fact is the enemy has a terrible track record trying to get rid of him. And that's my comment.
Hey, thanks for the comment. Great wisdom there, Mike. Now we go to J.C. Hawkins. J.C., best-selling author of the Betrayal Bethesda and a friend of Cliff's. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to go back to what you talked about earlier. Cliff had written about how it doesn't make sense for Trump to be attacking DeSantis as hard as he is. And I thought, being on the ground here in Northeast Florida, I could give you some perspective on that. It's not playing very well here because this is DeSantis' home base. He was our congressman here before he became governor. And he also is very popular in the Tampa area, which is his home base where he was born and raised. And so it doesn't make any sense for Trump to go so hard after DeSantis, especially since Trump is so far ahead in the polls. And I'm thinking, who is advising Trump? Because he can't even think about getting in the White House again if he doesn't win in Florida.
Yeah.
And if he alienates as many people as I hear around here who are really turned off by it, he's going to have a hard time.
Good point. Thanks for the call, JC. Thanks. Looking forward to your next book, and going to have you on the show soon. Cliff,
sounds
any
great.
Comment to that?
I think he's right. I think Trump's making a big mistake, and especially the nature of the attack. He's running, or his super PAC is running, these ads claiming DeSantis wants to cut Social Security.
Yeah.
You know, that's crazy. This is the kind of ad you'd expect from the Democrats. Why is Trump doing this?
I don't know. Going to AC now from Cleveland, Ohio, east side of Cleveland. Welcome, AC.
Hello, Paul, and hello, Cliff. And I just want to make a quick comment. I wholeheartedly agree with J.C. Hawkins, and I want to commend you for what you said earlier in the show. Trump should not be tearing down DeSantis. He's destroying his testimony, and it's going to affect him. He's going to hurt himself by doing this. I'm convinced about this. And he's got people like Roger Stone and Laura Loomer that are out there trashing DeSantis also. And that's wrong.
It doesn't make any
Jesus
sense.
Said, for he that is not against us is on our part. And he shouldn't be doing that.
No, it's not wisdom at all. Well, thanks for the call, AC. I appreciate the call. God bless. Cliff, I want to put in a segment here toward the end of the show for 3 minutes. So you've still got 4 minutes. Stoss said 3 minutes. So go ahead and conclude. First, before you do, I want to point out that this broadcast needs your funding to keep on the air. We need at least $1,000. If you can please send a donation to Paul Schiffer. That's Paul Schiffer, spelled S-C-H-I-F-F-E-R, at 2434 Whipple Avenue Northwest. That's 2434 Whipple Avenue Northwest, apartment number one, Canton, Ohio, 44708. Any kind of donation would be appreciated. Cliff, go ahead and wrap it up.
I appreciate being on your show again. You got a great show. I encourage people to contribute. We could use some funding as well. I've gone through some stories about what's been happening to our group. We've got big bills to pay just to maintain our organization, but we're still up at usasurvival.org. I sure wish Trump would send me a big check. You know, I don't mean to pick on him. I like the guy, but I saw that he's got this new book out of fan mail called Letters to Trump, and I looked it up on Amazon. It's almost $100. $100 book.
Who can afford that?
I mean, he certainly not the members of the working class.
No.
You know, I think he's wasting a lot of his time on these stupid book projects that mean nothing, and wasting too much of his PAC money on attacking a good Republican, DeSantis. He better get his act together, or he's going to go down in flames himself, and his 30-40 point lead is going to evaporate quick.
You're right about that. Well, thanks, Cliff, for joining us. We want to put you back on the air soon. This interview will be posted by tomorrow on theschifferreport.com. Anything I can do for you, let me know. God bless you, Cliff. And now, again, a reminder that we could use the funding We need about $1,000 to stay on the air. Give me a call on my cell phone, which is 216-276-8257, or send a check to Paul Schiffer, 2434 Whipple Avenue. Whipple spelled W-H-I-P-P-L-E, Northwest, Apartment 1, Canton, Ohio, 44708. See, Norm, the FBI knows where I'm at now, where they have for a long time. We're going to end with Robert Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy Jr.
I wonder if, given your family history and the fact that your uncle and father, you know, they were assassinated in this, and they stood for things and actually did pay the ultimate price in some regard. Now, I don't know what your personal beliefs on why that happened. Obviously, there's some new information that came out about JFK that's and the collusion potentially with the CIA. There's some very interesting things that have happened beyond just the theories that are now emerging. But do you ever worry that you are actually physically in danger for what you're standing for now?
The answer to that is I do not worry. My life is in God's hands, and I need to do what I believe is the right thing to do, and whatever the cost is. And I also, you know, I think my father and uncle were both fatalistic. They both knew that they were involved in a high-risk enterprise, and they believed that the stakes were high enough to justify their entry. And I think both of them believed that there were a lot worse things than dying. And they showed that repeatedly in their lives. You know, my uncle and father both, you know, volunteered for World War II, and my uncle really fought heroically. His brother was killed essentially a suicide mission. His brother-in-law, with whom he was close, Billy Hardington, was killed on the Maginot Line. He had many, many friends who put their lives at risk. And I think that whole generation believe that there were things that were a lot worse than death. And I think, you know, it's important for all of us to understand that. And one of those things is, one of the things that would be worse than death would be losing our freedoms and living like slaves. And there was a whole generation of Americans in 1776 who put their lives on the line in really what at that point was a lost cause. There is nobody in the world who believed that we were going to beat the biggest empire that a scraggly band of American colonists could beat militarily, the biggest empire in history of the world with the greatest fleet in history. And they put not only their lives on their line, their properties, their reputations, and because of their courage, we get to live in this country with a constitution, with free speech, with freedom of worship, you know, with property rights and all of the other rights.
The Schiffer Report with host Paul Schiffer. You'll hear insightful analysis of the news and interviews with the top conservative thinkers from across America. Paul Schiffer brings decades of public policy experience to the microphone, along with an uncompromising commitment to the conservative Christian principles that make this nation great.
The preceding program is sponsored by Paul Schiffer.